Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM.
I'm Dr. Ralph Ford, Chancellor of Penn State Barand and host of this week's Barand Talks, where we talk to interesting people in the Barand community. Our guest this week is Jake Marsh, our Industry Relations Coordinator. Jake, you've been with us a few years here at Barand, so why don't you take a few minutes and tell us about what you do here.
Well, first, thanks for having me. And Industry Relations Coordinator is an interesting job. It's a mixture of project management and program management. So my function is really to find new ways for students to benefit from new relationships with industry, with entrepreneurs, inventors, ways that we can serve the community while improving the educational experience of the students. And I'll go after funding for projects like that and look for ways to implement them, and then in some cases lead that implementation.
Well, I think you're in a really, you know, just a phenomenally interesting topical area. All, you know, you hear across the United States, here in Erie, innovation and entrepreneurship, two things that go together, but they're related, but they're not the same thing. So why don't you talk a little bit about innovation versus entrepreneurship, and what's the importance of this? Why are we interested in this so much as a university?
Well, it's essential for one thing. In addition to the need to compete in a growing and open market, we want to provide students with experiences that are relevant in companies, in career paths that they're going to choose. Now, they may choose to become an entrepreneur and open their own business, in which case this is all completely relevant to their experience. But even if they go and they join a super corporation, in today's career paths in those corporations, they're going to be expected to come up with unique ideas, defend them, implement them. They're going to be expected to be able to plan and to come up with creative solutions to new problems. That's how these companies are innovating. That's how they're moving forward and how they're competing with their within the market.
I think you hit it exactly. I mean, innovation, as you said, is really this idea of how do I take an idea and bring it to reality? Entrepreneurship or entrepreneurs, the person who does that, and there are business processes and lots of challenges around that. So certainly they're interrelated. Mm-hmm. But I think that's, you know, whether you're a company, whether you're an entrepreneur, you've got to be innovating. So we have this thing at Barand called Innovation Commons. Started in 2016. To much fanfare, has had a great impact in the community. So why don't you tell everybody, what is this thing called Innovation Commons?
Innovation Commons is a product development and rapid prototyping center staffed by students on campus that is really operates as a service to almost literally anyone in the region. We serve entrepreneurs, inventors. We serve industry. And so how do we do that, right? You could, as an inventor or as someone who's just looking to develop a new product and take it to the market, or someone who's run into a barrier in that process, come and meet with our students, and we will try to take you over that barrier. So that might be something like, oh, I'm really good at drawing my idea, but I don't know how to use computers to make it reality. We would do that computer-aided drafting work for you. With you is a better way to put it. And then if there's some prototyping steps that follow, we would go as far as we can to make the product a reality. And that process is iterative. So once we help you develop the original prototype for the project, or the product rather, you're probably going to say, that's all right. You know, let's see if we can make this better. And we'll brainstorm with you and work through the technical details to make that move forward. By we, I should clarify that really it's the students. The students that we have on staff there are engineers from various different engineering majors, and they are exceptional students, very creative, and they're very good at managing these projects, or projects, rather.
Well, I think you've hit a lot of really important points there. One is this idea of you don't have it right the first time. Nobody does, right? It's always easy to take a product or something you've worked on for a few years, you look back and you realize you started at a very different point. And one of the things that you'll hear in innovation circles is fail early and fail often, right? And people are afraid of that. So what's your advice? So somebody's out there, they're thinking, maybe I should come to this thing called Innovation Commons, but it's kind of scary. They're at Penn State University, Penn State Barron. I've got to go to that college campus. What's your advice to them? Where do they go? Walk me through exactly how this happens if I'm an entrepreneur, an innovator.
Well, it's pretty simple. There's a few ways to engage with us, but probably the easiest is to send us an email. Give us an idea about what you're working on and where you've run into a problem. It's just innovatebarrond@psu.edu. You can also go to our website, which is barrond.psu.edu/innovate. Or you can send an email straight to me or to talk to me on the phone. We want to be as open and comfortable during that initial conversation as possible. We really just want to hear, hey, you know, I'm working on this project and here's where I've run into a problem or a challenge that I don't know how to do. Can I come in and meet with you? And you can meet with us virtually. I mean, the ideal circumstance is to come on campus and come on down to the Innovation Commons itself and meet with the students in person. That's very easy. It's much simpler than you think and it's much closer than you think it is.
So where is it physically located? Where is the Innovation Commons?
Innovation Commons is in Burke Center. There is a parking garage right next to it. It's very easy to find it within the building, and honestly, we'll send you a map. It'll be very simple to find us, and it's easy once you're there because we've got lots of windows and cool gadgets and stuff that you can't miss it.
I think the thing that's also important to understand about Burke Center and where you are at, is that it's really at a real nice hub at campus. It's in the Burke Center, which is our largest building on campus. It houses our business and engineering schools. It's right next to the Clark Cafe. So it's an area, frankly, that gets a lot of traffic. And there are a lot of windows looking in. And I think that was intentional, wasn't it, in selecting this space as to the placement of Innovation Commons?
Absolutely, it was. The central location piques curiosity of the students that are walking the halls every day. These are business and engineering students. These are the students that are going to go out and be innovators. That's not to say that all students in any major can be. Of course they can. These ones are going to be innovating their career paths on a regular basis and starting businesses. And we want them to walk by and see and look inside and see the interesting machines and the work that's going on and say, well, we want them to knock on the door and say, what's going on in here? This is really exciting. How can I be involved?
So let's step back for a minute to the creation of Innovation Commons. It started in 2016. Fast forward, we're here 2.5 years later. But how did that happen? How was it funded, frankly? Where did it come from?
So it was a fortunate combination of two simultaneous offers that we got. One in particular was a Penn State-wide program called Invent Penn State. It's a huge program where essentially the university said to all of its campuses, find a way to help entrepreneurs and tell us how you want to do it, and we'll give you some funding to start that process. So that's Invent Penn State. We put in for that funding in 2015, if I recall, and we received it. We took a few of our advantages, things that we're exceptionally good at and interested in, and we argued that we would be able to help entrepreneurs and inventors using that system. But also, simultaneously, the Erie County Gaming Revenue Authority was looking for a grant application in which the universities would work together collaboratively on a program or set of programs. And we put in an application as representatives of the four universities that we would collaborate on projects related to innovation and business growth for Erie County. We received that funding, and one of the parts, there were many, many parts of that funding, but one of the parts was this experiment that we call the Innovation Beehive. And the first Innovation Beehive site, the pilot, the prototype, so to speak, was the Innovation Commons, and that was to create a service for entrepreneurs and industry in the region that would be as low barrier as possible. So that's where we began.
Yeah, it's a great story, and there are often a lot of pieces that have to come together. And the other thing that I think is really that this capitalizes on is this larger movement across the country known as the Maker Movement. And people are really returning to the roots of it with the tools that are out there, with rapid prototyping, CAD tools, to build things in a way that they couldn't 10 years ago. And I mean, do you see that as well? Do you see that the people in the community here have that great making skill?
Absolutely. So it's an interesting thought that, you know, my generation at least, when we were growing up, so I'm in my mid-30s, when we were growing up, my impression or my thought was if I needed something, if something didn't exist, a company would invent that thing, right? Some huge company would invent that thing. And now what we're seeing with this available new technology and the way that we're teaching our students even down in K-12 levels is they see a problem and they say, how can I fix this myself right now? And now with capabilities like maker spaces that have the tools and the machines necessary, technology necessary, they can fix the problem now. And it can be fixed today through just invention. And I think that that's going to be a trend that we're going to see take us even further and move more toward that direction, more toward individual innovation and collaboration, as opposed to relying upon large corporations to solve our everyday problems.
You are listening to Barron Talks, and today we are talking about innovation with Jake Marsh, our Industry Relation Coordinator here at Penn State Barron, on Money Radio, WPSE, AM 1450, FM 107.1, and stream live from our homepage here at Penn State Barron. Jake, tell me about intellectual property and how that's handled. People are rightfully worried that they come to you with an idea. Who owns it? Does somebody else, get access to it? How do you handle this with an innovator?
The simple, hopefully assuring answer is the innovator themselves own the intellectual property. Penn State's always had a very industry-friendly intellectual property policy that's been developed over quite a long time. And ours is very similar. So even though the students are working for Penn State, the intellectual property is owned by the client, the innovator themselves. And so that is to say, if the students themselves actually contributed to the intellectual property, they'll be named as inventors, which is fantastic for their career. But the intellectual property itself is owned by the innovator.
And this is more than talk. This has happened.
Yeah, we have had 7 patent applications come out of that lab, that center, all applied for by the innovator themselves and all naming at least one student as a co-inventor on the patent.
So I know I've focused on this already, but let's just say you're an innovator, an entrepreneur, you've got an idea. How should they prepare to come in? So let's assume they do want to walk in. I'm going to encourage them to walk in. I think everybody should come see our beautiful campus. The students there are very friendly and welcoming. So they walk in. How should they prepare for that first meeting?
I would say, first of all, you've got to come in with an idea that is at least far enough along that you've got something unique. You've thought it through. You've given it a good, fair evaluation as far as your experience can take you. So coming in with an idea, I would like to invent a new engine, and that's as far as you've thought, it wouldn't really be appropriate. But if you've got something unique that is your design, and you've just run into the issue of not knowing where to go next, that's when you bring it in. Now, that could be that you've just got a sketch on paper. It could be that you've got it already into computer modeling, or it could be that you've got it already, the physical working prototype, and it's just not working as well as you'd want it. We can work with any of those situations.
And we change people's perspective, and by that I mean you've got an idea, but sometimes you can't manufacture it, or we can add a lot to it. Our students, it's cliche, perhaps, but they really have this wide-eyed, open viewpoint, and they bring real value to the process.
Yeah, and if I might mention one example of a case where that occurred was, we had an innovator come in who had a product that had a lot of moving parts to it. I mean, it had a simple function, but it had some moving parts, which makes it difficult to manufacture. The students were actually able to simplify that to one part that could be laser cut and stamped into shape and be ready for production. And that innovator has taken that product all the way to the shelf. And in fact, the product was recently bought by a local manufacturer who will be producing it, you know, for the long term. So we've essentially taken an idea that was almost there, that was unique, but was too hard to make. And we helped them make it possible to manufacture. And now it's a made in Erie County product.
Tell me about the benefit the students get out of this. You work with them day in and day out. You supervise the students, you hire them. You have no small role in this. What do they walk away from with this?
The skill set that they're drawing out of this is pretty broad. For example, most of these are engineering students, and we have them face-to-face meeting with clients. So it's not just entrepreneurs. It's also large industrial companies. They'll be talking with CEOs of these companies to organize the project. And the project itself requires project management. And it's a mixture of traditional project management and agile, iterative project management. They're also tasked to be problem solvers, real creative thinkers. And this doesn't even mention the fact that they need CAD skills, and they need to be skilled with working and fixing machinery in the lab itself. Altogether, it's a broad spectrum of experience that makes them capable of a pretty broad career path in the future.
To me, that's one of the things that characterizes Barron so much. It's this philosophy that we call here of the open laboratory. And the open laboratory really is about, first and foremost, our students getting access or being able to engage in these experiences that are very real. They add a lot to their career prospects. But on the other hand, the outside world is gaining benefit from it as well. And I just think it works so well. And you've articulated that very nicely. Jake, so people bring, and entrepreneurs bring ideas to us, but our students have great ideas as well. And they have built some phenomenal systems up there. Talk about that 3D scanner and how that came about and what it can do.
Ah, it's an interesting project. So one of our professors observed online an interesting system. It was made in, I think, the Netherlands. I don't recall. And it was based on a large number of cameras taking a picture all at once of a subject and then using software to create a 3D image. Well, he got our students involved in designing and rebuilding that system. And it turns out they had to redesign the entire thing and program not the large software package, but program the individual software for the cameras from scratch because the software that was available wasn't compatible. They had to troubleshoot it a lot, but essentially what they've got now is 90 cameras facing into a circular space, well lit, that takes all those photos and turns them into a 3D image in a computer with color and everything. There was so much troubleshooting going on in that project that they still are troubleshooting some of it today, and that just continues to be a nice development and a way for them to really experiment with solutions that they'd never had to think of before.
Well, it's that idea of you just have to keep iterating and building the prototype. It is amazing. A person can walk in there. We can take a 3D scan of it's that large of a human being. So that gives you an idea of the scope and scale. But they're working on another project as well. So they've got another, quote, large project in the works. Can you talk about that?
This one is designed completely from scratch by the students. And they designed a large-scale 3D printer. So typical 3D printer, about 12 by 12 inch by 12 chamber that it can print. It can print something about that big. This one will be able to print a whole cubic meter. It's a very large machine, and the students have had to troubleshoot so many issues with a machine of that size. It's been remarkable to see them run into a wall and then be able to work around the wall.
Yeah, they really have great vision. They've got great enthusiasm. Again, anyone who comes in is going to see that. Let's talk a little bit more about some other projects. So you talked about the Fast Frame. Are there one or two others that stand out that you'd like the audience to hear about?
Yes. In fact, a very good Erie story. Recently, a rubber manufacturer in Erie, Lake Erie Rubber, was purchased by a new owner. And that owner decided that they wanted to go into some level of product development on their own. So develop new products themselves that they can produce and add to their new product stream, right? And they chose to do dog toys. I mean, they've got a high-quality rubber material, and they said, we can make very high quality dog toys and make them right here in Erie. But they'd never done that sort of prototyping before. So they brought their idea to us and we helped them prototype and move that product toward something that would be ready to go, ready to make a mold. And in fact, it saved them quite a bit of trouble because their first model was not ideal. So we saved them from making a mold that would not have been an ideal mold. They would have had to remake it.
Yeah, and it's a great idea or a great demonstration of, again, how we can help establish companies. And that's really important as well. So do you see companies coming from Knowledge Park, and are there other companies coming to see us?
Yes. We've had several examples, and I'll mention there's an automation company in Erie that makes a lot of parts very, very fast. And we are experimenting with them. Doing a little bit of engineering on their machine to see if you can replace some of those parts with 3D printed parts to save them a great deal of money in replacing parts, as well as solve a couple of other technical problems that go with that. We are open to working with any large company. Our purpose in that relationship will be to help you build a new capability at your company. So we'll help you learn how to do product development, rapid prototyping, learn how to use these machines, to make that possible at your company, hopefully developing a new way for you to make some income.
And it's not just 3D printers. I know we like to think about that. That's really a huge part of what you do. But there are laser cutters there, and there's CAD software, there's collaborative space. So it's more than just 3D printers, isn't it?
Right. We have various different machines. They're really just tools to get the job done. You named a couple of them. But we also have a great space for collaboration and coming up with new ideas and working through them. It's really about just creating, you know, a comfortable space with a lot of writable surfaces, right? So we've got a whiteboard table that everyone just loves. That sounds simple, right? Basic, but it makes a huge difference. Lots of capabilities for teleconferencing, you know, high-end computers to run high-end CAD software. That sort of capability makes this whole process work very well. And we open that space up also to students who are working on businesses. And really anyone who wants to meet with one of the services in the Erie County community, one of the entrepreneurial services particular.
Well, the design of the physical space, I don't think can be understated. It really sets the mindset for working together in teams and working collaboratively. And what I wanted to do, though, is switch, you know, so you've talked a lot about it. I just want to step back for a moment and go a little bit by the numbers. And I'm sure these numbers are out of date, but since its inception, we have 83 total projects that we've undertaken. You've leveraged over $1.1 million in external funds, meaning those are dollars that you've brought in from other sources. You've served 56 entrepreneurs. I know my numbers are out of date. 7 patent applications. We've helped facilitate at least 2 startups that actually became companies. I mean, just when you reflect on that, how do you feel?
Very satisfied, encouraged. It's very encouraging is what it is. Those numbers have indeed climbed. We're well over 100 projects now, and we've served probably close to 85 entrepreneurs. It just gives you an idea. I mean, it hasn't been long since those numbers were provided for you, and they've already increased. And I'm sure that they're higher than what I think right now. And as far as numbers get us, it's a sign of how things are going, seeing that line, you know, ramp up and, you know, really produce some visible results.
It's just astonishing, the numbers. And the other thing that's really astonishing is the level of collaboration between the universities. This is part of a larger initiative known as the Northwest PA Innovation Beehive Network. So tell us what that is.
So I'm going to go back a step to where we talked before about the Innovation Commons being a prototype itself. And that was for this concept of the beehives. And what we found was that it works. It works quite well to have a low barrier service for entrepreneurs in the region. And based on that, you know, evidence, the four universities went to the Appalachian Regional Commission and the Economic Development Administration and said, we would like to put a site that's similar and complementary at each of the schools. We're ready to go. We have evidence it works. Let's do it. So each school said, you know, in the context of this free service for entrepreneurs, we're going to take this piece of the puzzle. We're going to fill this need and lower risk using this method. So, for example, Gannon University already has a small business development center and Erie Technology Incubator. So they said, we'll do business planning. We'll help you do that planning phase of your preparation for going into business. Edinburgh said, we will do brand identity. We will give you a brand identity and help you with messaging, strategic communications. And in fact, mentioning that Erie Rubber project, they did the brand identity for that new product. And we put that in our CAD design and produced that product with that brand identity from Edinburgh. So excellent collaboration. Mercyhurst University decided to do business intelligence. So market research studies, really. So this all puts together a lot of pieces of pie that essentially lowers the risk for an entrepreneur or industry to do something creative and new.
So the thing about this that's just striking to me is not only is, in my opinion, that level of collaboration among four universities pretty unique, and I think something we shouldn't take for granted, but it's getting some national recognition. We have other universities who've heard about this, and they're coming to visit us just to find out how in the heck we made this happen.
So coming from my sort of naive entrance into this field, everything worked so smoothly. I was almost really surprised to get calls from universities as far away as Utah saying, how'd you do this? And they've traveled up here and met with all of us and are trying to benchmark against that and replicate that sort of success. And part of that success is really finding a way to work together that really is exciting and benefits everyone. And has a mission that is outward looking out toward the community. How can we help the community while still producing an awesome educational experience for our students?
That's a great story. So tell me, what is next for Innovation Commons?
Well, we have some pretty interesting ideas coming up, and I'm afraid some of that's going to have to be a little bit stay tuned. But we are always looking for new ways to lower barriers to innovation in this region. And we do have some interesting announcements that you can look forward to in the next few months. We have some new plans and ways that we're going to build upon this Beehive network to just make it more impactful for all of our users and even increase the user base to include a more comprehensive set of clients.
Well, we will stay tuned. You are listening to Money Radio. You are listening to Barron Talks on Money Radio. And our guest today is Jake Marsh, our industry relations coordinator who oversees our Innovation Commons. And Jake, as we come to the end of our time here, tell me, is there anything we've missed? Any final message you have?
Well, I'm going to take this chance here to say, if you've got an idea and you want to move it forward, please come and contact us. Come by, knock on the door, or send us an email, innovatebarron@psu.edu. Go to our website, barron.psu.edu/innovate, any of those methods. We are always looking for new clients, new ideas, and ways that we can help more people move their products forward.
Great, great, great message. Thank you, Jake. We appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again on Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. for an encore presentation of the Business Spotlight.